I'm Dick Davis. I'm the chair of the NFP Employment Committee. And seated next to me is Kate Williams. She is one of the members of the NFP Employment Committee, and a more charming person you will never meet. So she is going to help me with this seminar here. I tend to get up and move around and, you know, figure out room arrangements and do other, you know, different things. And so Kate will be managing a significant part of this thing. Okay, so let me talk for a little bit about the world as it now is. Tomorrow we have a job fair with 29 employers in it. I remember when several years ago when Suzanne Turner came up with the idea of starting with the job fair, we had 12 employers. At that time, those employers were mostly, to be quite honest, from the field of work with the blind, and some of them technically weren't employers, some of them were training centers that prepared people for employment. So this time we have kind of an even mix of agencies for the blind and corporate employers. We're continuing to build on the number of employers that come to the job fair, and that's why we're collecting registration information for the job fair at this time, because we will soon be able to supply them with demographics. So why did the job fair grow? Well, the job fair grew because of diversity. If you look around this room, or if you talk to people in this room, if you can't look around this room, that's cool, you will notice that there's kind of a mixture of people. There's a mixture of people of all ages. There's a mixture of people of all genders. There's a mix of people of all backgrounds, etc. And the businesses of the United States and the organizations that are not businesses have caught on to the fact that diversity is a good thing. I remember back in the 1990s when I went to the first Rehabilitation Services Administration conference on diversity in Washington, D.C., the whole first day was a joke. Basically, we had Mexicans that came, or Latinos, who did a mariachi band. We have had an African-American person who told Yo Mama jokes. We had a Hawaiian person who told, yes, I'm serious, island jokes. And some of us who understood diversity were sitting in the air saying, what kind of Mickey Mouse thing is this? And it was Mickey Mouse. And of course, everybody's sad part about it is the agencies had shipped all their minority people there. Like, no agency directors were there, believe me. I was the only one there. State agency director, I ran Minnesota at the time. And so kind of all the, it was like, hey, you're a minority person, you go to this. And everybody was having a great old time. But I didn't think the message was getting across. And then the gentleman, the second day was dedicated to a gentleman who wrote the book Beyond Race and Gender. And this guy was a riveting guy. I forget his name. He's an African-American gentleman. And he's the kind of person who sat down in the room and immediately he had everybody's attention. And he talked about what diversity was. And basically, diversity is the fact that, you know, we have a world created with all different people. And that if you want an organization to function, you've got to accommodate them. You can't expect white people you can't expect African-American people to go into a white culture and become white people. That didn't work in the 19th century, doesn't work in the 20th century, doesn't work in the 21st century especially. So he's talking about the failure of affirmative action because the companies were willing to accommodate African-American people, but they weren't willing to change. Corporations now are willing to change, and diversity has become a big name here. We have a lady who will talk in just a few minutes who is big on diversity. And lots of other people here are big on diversity. People contact me literally every single week saying, hey, how can we hire some blind people? Now, 2 years ago when somebody called me and said, hey, we're interested in hiring some of your people, I would say, direct person I am, You understand, we work with blind people. You know, I was, of course, associate director of Blind Incorporated back then, and very interestingly, increasingly, we're saying, "Oh yeah, that's why we called you. You want to hire some blind people?" And I'm thinking, "Hallelujah!" You know, I've never been called by anybody wanted to hire a blind person before, and literally that was the case. But it's happened since then, and lots of people. And you're going to hear from some of those people here today. So businesses are now open to hiring blind people, and that's different. Does that mean all of them are? No. I wish they all were, but they're getting that way. Does that mean they all know how to accommodate blind people? No. But I've talked to some people here who are working through the reasonable accommodations, the technology, and other issues to hire blind people and have them be productive parts of their workforce. But there are people who are working towards it. Are there some people out there, you know, who hope never to hire a blind person? Yeah, I suppose. But they're going to get to be the minority after a while. So then the question is, what happens to blind people? You know, do those of us in this room who are blind, are we prepared to deal with employers who now actually want to hire us? That's a really good question, because as you all know, everybody in this room, I'm sure, can give me stories about how many times you got rejected, how many times people lied to you, how many times people pretended that they were interested, and you never got a call back, all this kind of stuff. Very rude, by the way, to interview somebody and not, you know, give them some kind of call back. But all the times that you've been rejected, and so it's really, really easy to get hardened and to think nobody wants me. And one of the things that I think we sometimes do, we talk about the 70% unemployment rate. And people say, well, it's 70% unemployment rate, you know, for blind people, and sighted people have 100% unemployment rate, so there ain't no way blind people, you know, can ever get a job. And that's negative self-talk, and negative self-talk never works. But the fact is, 100% of sighted people are not working. The labor market participation rate in the sighted community is 62%. Now, 30%, if I do my math properly, 30% or thereabouts is half of that. So that means the actual unemployment rate of blind people in the United States is 50%. Now, that's not great, of course, but it's better than 70%. And it shows that over the years we have made some progress. And Department of Labor thinks that some of those sighted people who aren't employed are sitting home playing video games. Well, great, I'm happy for that. You know, they can play video games and you guys can get their jobs and that'll work out just fine. You know, everybody be happy then, because they'll have their video games and you'll have money coming in. So we have to not engage in negative self-talk. We have to kind of open ourselves up. So how does that affect the rehab agencies? Well, as you know, sometimes when we're dealing with rehab agencies, it's a matter of how long you want to fight to get the services that you deserve. Sorry to say that if there's any rehab people here, but you know, it's increasingly that people seem to have to fight to go to Blind Incorporated. They have to fight to get money for this. They have to fight to get money for that, and so on and so forth. And I'm thinking with the rehab agencies, well, why don't you just lay off a bunch of people then? Then you have enough money to give away and you don't have to fight over, you know, getting people that. Well, that, of course, is not going to go, you know, especially well with the rehab people, but is a valid concern. So are rehab agencies now prepared to get people the training that they need to be effective employees? And a lot of rehab counselors don't do job placement. That's a mistake to me. You know, how can you prepare people for jobs if you don't talk to employers? So a lot of people in the rehab profession are going to have to start going out and visiting employers and sitting down and talking to them and doing everything that they can to get to know these employers, because it's all about relationships, as you will learn today. Everything is about relationships. And if you don't build good relationships, then you're not going to be successful. So you got to build relationships. Agency has to build relationships. NFB centers already build relationships. That's why we're so successful in getting our people jobs. We talk to employers. and so on and so forth. You know, so that means, and all of you who don't have really good skills training are going to need to work on your skills, because as I explain to people a lot of times, would you buy a sweater with a hole in it? No, you would not. So, you know, if you are a blind person, you certainly don't want to have holes or gaps in your training, gaps in your experience, and so on and so forth. We have NFB training centers that can help you. There are states that are reputable that can help you. You gotta take the initiative to go and find, you know, what you need to get skilled enough and to get the specific skills and training that the employers need. And you'll hear from those employers later on. I'm not going to take words away from them. So that's kind of my little introduction here to you. Remember, it's a new world. I fully intend to see, you know, before I pass from this earth, I intend to see a big jump in the number of blind people who are employed. They're out there, they're looking for you, and I think it's going to be really very, very important.